buddy, Pastor Gregory Morris. Praise God. Hey, my friend, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. We missed you guys.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a long time. But we're always grateful to be here, whether doing solo or as a team. It's always good to join you.
Amen. And it's funny because, as you know, we did a show last month, and we did our anniversary show. That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
How can I forget? See, you know what it is? Because it's like one, there's an anniversary and now there's a birthday. I wish I was the same age as the anniversary.
Yeah.
I could actually divide that number into my new age and like go, oh. And still wait. And they would say, and still have change. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, I hear you. I feel you on that. Yes.
Ooh,
yes.
My. Isn't that something? So,
but we
were worried about you guys, and I guess you guys ended up having some technical problems because we got very concerned, and I was like, where are they? I hope nothing's happened. We got to praying, and you know.
Well, you never realize how much how dependent you are on technology until it goes haywire. I thought the whole gist of it was to bring convenience and ease and everything else to life. But boy, it's when it's not there. Wow. So
yes,
that's what happened. Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
no! And trust me. Look. I have now contacted my local cable company.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a whole kit and caboodle set up and stuff, and so I've been dissecting technology stuff for a few weeks now, and I've got cell phones with these people, and then at another address I've got a home phone, and I've got the TV cable stuff with the box, the whole shebang. And then I got an internet provider who's different, and the cable and cell phone people are all the same, but they're in two different households. And then trying to get me to take the whole package. We have internet. I'm like, no, I do a show. I need stable internet. I used you people 20-some-odd years ago, and let me tell you, I ended up, I'm not joking, I had bought a brand-new laptop. This was many years ago, and I couldn't understand why this thing was so slow. I thought, okay, this is a brand-new laptop. How is a brand-new laptop so slow?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I thought, what in the world did I just spend all this money and buy? And I took it back to the shop, and I said, I don't know why, it's really slow. And he said, oh, it shouldn't be. And I said, yeah, it's like super slow, and I don't know what else to do. And he said, well, maybe you do some major work and stuff. And I, at the time, I didn't think I did, but I thought, hey, you just never know. And yes, because at the time I was running my own paralegal company, and I was running the ministry. I was doing all kinds of stuff on my laptop. So I was like, okay. So, yeah. So he tells me, oh, it's going to cost you about $75 to upgrade it because we can put in this turbo booster thingamajiggy. I'm telling this as a technical guy as we speak. And so I'm like, yeah, you know what, let's just do it. Okay, go ahead. So I come back like a couple days later, and I pick it up, and I'm all excited, and I get home, and I try it out, and it's still really slow. And I'm like, what's going on? So then I end up telling somebody, and you know what they tell me? Did you check your internet provider? And I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah.
If it's a brand new laptop, it shouldn't be so slow. It that doesn't make sense. And they wanted all the configurations of my laptop, and I told them what I wrote down, and they said, no, that's a really good laptop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's probably your internet provider. And I'm like, Really? Pastor Gregory, I went and I spoke to my internet provider people because they had, at the time, this is when those little modems came out and they were just selling them all willy-nilly. Oh, you could pay $5 a month or you could buy it out for $120. And, you know, look, I can tell you right now, the House of Windsor has about 12 different modems that I bought outright.
Oh, like, my God.
I have
oh
no idea,
because
now they're not even any good. Like, a year later, they become obsolete. And so I kept trying different things, and they kept giving me different remotes and different this, and then they kept changing my packages to try to upgrade it. And I finally gave in, and someone said, did you try the other company? You need to switch over. So I switched all my stuff over to this other company, and I'm telling you, fastest internet in the West. I mean, I was like, quick draw.
Like night
and
day, huh? Night and day.
And I was like, look, you do know, before I got excited, I was mad because I had just paid like about $80 to upgrade a brand new laptop.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's a sermon in that, because, you know, I've been, you know, my background, as you know, is IT for many, many years. And, you know, it's this nice little word called bandwidth as far as internet is concerned. So it's
right.
Like trying to squeeze. You can have all the power of, like, Niagara Falls. Mm. But if you're trying to squeeze it through, like, a little water hose, it'll never work. You know, it got all this power, but, you know, it's how, it, you know, the conduit. And so that'll get you. That will sink you every time. So, yeah. So, but you were able to jump that hurdle, though, huh? By changing companies.
I was, and I was so happy. I was happy for several years, and then I up and came to Toronto and had to leave that cable company behind because they weren't in the Toronto region. And I, every time I had to call the one that I use now, I was just like, I miss you, Kojiko. <You know? laughs> and so because of that, I literally searched out an independent internet provider.
Oh, wow.
And so I have my own independent internet long distance provider, separate, far and above from everything else, and I pay for it. Let me tell you, I pay for it. And I'm telling you, I could add it to my other package and probably pay $20, $30, $40 more, and everything would be included. But no, I can't take that risk. Because I don't trust these guys anymore. And so they were trying to get me in and rope me in. And I said, no. You know what? Gas is really high these days. And, you know, girlfriend's got to get to and fro and go to work and go and do other things. And we just have to figure out some way to not be driving everywhere, or if we leave the house, we're going to do everything under the sun and then come home.
Yeah.
And so it was funny, but they almost got me because I contacted my internet provider and I said, look, I love you guys. You know I love you guys. And they're like, well, we love you too. And I'm like, I know, but gas is expensive.
I said, I understand.
And so they said, no. We don't want you to leave. We don't want you to go anywhere. So they said, you know what? You could just go ahead and we're going to give you a deal. So they roped me back in and I didn't leave them. So now guess what? The cable is all messed up. And one box died on Sunday. The other box died on Monday.
Oh yeah.
It's been a week and a half, and I'm still not even finished with these troubles. When I call them now, I just go, hi, and I give them my name, and then I say, it's day 4 that I'm speaking to Rogers, and they're like, oh dear.
So they know you
on a
first name basis, huh?
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's funny because they if you call tech support or certain departments, you can, you have to do like, you have to do a survey or something. So, but they always go, well, I know we couldn't really fix
yeah.
everything for you, but how would you say our service was? Because they might call you back and, you know, might do a survey. And I said, that's okay. I'll let them know that you sent condolences and that you even offered to attend the funeral service.
Oh, my.
So technology is not, look, they say it's supposed to make our lives easier, but I wonder sometimes because you know what? I still cut corners and I still do other things and I don't put all my eggs into one basket because I prepare just in case. Because technology, we're, like you said, we're so dependent on it. Where does it go from there? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know. Look, and I'm the one that, you know, I'm the guy that, you know, if it can be automated or streamlined or, you know, to make, you know, to work smarter, you know, than harder type of thing, hey, I'm all for that.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, there's nothing that ultimately that's going to replace the human being. And there's still some things that, and so I love technology. I just over the course, I mean, you know, a year, 5 years, it's like a lifetime, you know, as far as technology is concerned. And so, you know, just think about what we've seen over the course of, you know, our lives or just the past decade or a couple of decades or whatever. And so it's a wonderful thing, but it's, you know.
It's concerning.
You know, case in point, case in point, I don't know. Maybe my wife's phone number, but other than that, I'm completely dependent on my contacts on my phone. You know, it's very few numbers, and that's just kind of like where we're at, you know. And, again, I love it. I love technology. I love advancement and progressing. But, yeah, you know, it's there's a balance there. And, again, I'm coming from, you know, years and years and years in the IT field. So I feel you. I understand. Yeah.
Now, which is ironic, because here we are talking about the changes that we've been going through. And tonight we're finally going to address, we've been bringing this up for a couple weeks now. We haven't been able to get through to it because we've been on other things. But we know the state of technology clearly.
Yes.
It's good, bad, and indifferent. But here's the ultimate check. And this is what got me thinking about this the other day, because what I'm reading in the headlines about the church is not good.
Yeah.
And
yes.
So tonight we've got a topic ahead of us. I've got a couple articles and some lists, but we're going to discuss literally the state. Before we go on a quick break, though, I do have to do a shout-out. Somebody had called into the show, and unfortunately I wasn't able to grab the call because we were talking. So if they want to call back, please feel free to call back. And but in the meantime, Jesus loves you, and so do we. And definitely you want to give us a call back or email us, and Pastor Jay GrosnerShow@gmail.com, or you can do Grosner Ministries Broadcasting @gmail.com, and also the old email address is still works. So you have the Pastor J. Rouse Show @gmail.com, and you have Rouse Ministries Broadcasting @gmail.com. So all of those still work. You can connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and we tweet as well, like the little birds. And so we definitely, if you want to just give a shout out, you want to share something, say something, give some love, bless somebody, amen, or even give your thoughts and opinions on the state of the church, because my, what a state it's in. But we're going to take a really quick break, and then we're going to come back, and Pastor Gregory is going to open us in prayer. We want to give a shout out to my friend, my sister friend, Pastor Donna Morris, and let her know that we love her, we miss her, and we're always thinking of her. And, of course, tonight is a birthday show, ironically, because, yes, my birthday is on the weekend. I posted that I'm having – see, for the longest time, I never knew. I only recently heard about these champagne birthdays. And I'm like, what in heaven's name is a champagne birthday? So a friend of mine who's always, oh, my goodness, I can't wait. It's my son's champagne birthday. And I thought, okay. And I'm thinking, but her kids are really young. So like, what is she talking about, a champagne birthday?
Yeah.
I was very confused. And then so she explained it to me. And then, I don't know, it became a little alarming because I thought, well, are you supposed to give them champagne when they're that young? Like, I don't understand. But I thought, well, maybe it's just in name alone and not necessarily in materialistic aspects of it. So, but here's the weird thing, because they say the last time you can celebrate an official champagne birthday, I looked this up just the other day because I thought about this, and I thought, wait a minute, something strange is happening this time. And it says the last possible time you can have a champagne birthday is to turn 31 on the 31st.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Yes, because of the day, because it's supposed to be the year of your birthday and the day of your birthday.
Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay. So without putting my old age out there, we'll have to modify, but technically my champagne birthday was supposed to be when I was 5. And I'm thinking, well, I don't recall anybody giving me champagne 5 years old. I think I'm going to have to talk to my mother about that and go, excuse me, apparently I was supposed to. Well, actually, we have a drink in the Caribbean, and they call it cola champagne, so maybe they gave me some of that, because that's my makeshift champagne, cola champagne, because it's really pop. It's not champagne. But then I thought, wait a minute, I'm having a twisted, upscale, psychedelic champagne birthday because it's in a double digit. And I'm like, did they tell us about those? No one ever comes up with those. So I said, I guess if I can't drink champagne, it's got to be harder liquor. And I thought, oh, my. I couldn't even handle the champagne even now. So I'm thinking, I don't know about this. So everybody was teasing me.
That's funny. That's funny.
So now we got to see, because, hey, if it's double the amount, it's got to be a doubly tough drink, right? So, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a pastor on a Christian show talking about getting all liquored out. Only on the Pastor Jay Grosser show. There you go. Oh, my word.
That's funny.
Yeah, so looks like it's going to be some more cola champagne for me. But actually, they have some really nice, different, non-alcoholic wines out there now, too. Some are very nice. Some are very, very nice. So,
yeah, you know, that is true. I'm not, you know, I don't know why. It just, alcohol of any type just never appealed to me. Again, it's just me personally. I think, and I always have Donna, you know, in tears laughing. This was probably back in my college days, and we were celebrating a friend of ours, her birthday. And so they were originally from Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And so her mom made this gigantic bowl of punch, you know, and I'm thinking,
oh, no.
You know, it's just like, you know.
I'm afraid. I know where this is going.
Right. So I'm just guzzling it, you know. And so, again, not, you know, being familiar with, you know, alcohol. And so after the fact, I realized that it was spiked and laced and everything else with rum. And boy,
mm-hmm.
you know, old boy here, it was, boy, I was like out of it. I'm going, wow, what is happening? So every time I tell her that story, she just has a bit, just, I mean, cracks up. And so, yeah, I that's, that is, yeah, I'll never forget that. That's been some years
too,
so.
Yeah, yeah. When you go to anything Western, you definitely have to ask what's in the punch. Because their punch has a fist punch.
Look, now you tell me. Now you tell me.
Well, I don't know. You know. Yeah, and when they call it rum punch, if yeah, you got to run from the punch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's
like I can remember we had an office party and this lady brought in, we had to bring in cultural dishes, and it was a Jamaican girl that was working there in the accounting department, and she brought in some black cake, and it's basically rum cake. And they think it's
goodness.
Just the name. They had no idea. Look, you could. She opened the container. You could smell it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The entire boardroom. And I'm, like, looking, thinking, okay, if you can smell it that strong. So people started taking it. And I took a little piece because I thought, I have to drive, and I don't do this. So I don't even know. And normally you wouldn't get drunk off of something like, but the amount of alcohol that was in this thing, even she said, oh,
wow.
Yeah, it's a little strong. I mean, a little. People were like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I guess anytime you can, you know, squeeze out a little slice of cake like a sponge and fill up a cup,
right.
glass.
And that's,
you know,
literally it, because the thing was literally soggy. So I'm like, she
yeah.
goes, yeah, and we just continued to soak it in there. And I think she poured some in the container with the cake in it to bring it to the office. I'm like,
oh, my goodness. Oh,
that's
wow.
not how
wow.
it's supposed to work. So, yeah.
Yeah, well,
so you have
that
to
was
be
my
so
introduction
careful.
To, rum punch. I just thought, you know, it was a nice, I don't know, Jamaican name or so. Well, you know, I didn't know what was going on, but I learned very quickly. I was
there
educated
you go.
Very quickly, so.
And a Jamaican rum at that, it's pretty tough, I tell you. Theirs is hardcore, so, yeah.
Yeah, yes it was.
I can imagine. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break. But before we go on break, there was something I didn't play for our anniversary show. And I feel so bad because she went all the way out of her way to record a message for me. And this was for Girls Your Ministry's 20th anniversary that we celebrated on the 14th of May, just a couple weeks, about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our friend Nicole Waldron, who now also has her own podcast, bless her heart. She used to do a
nice
Christian TV type show, and she's always involved in a lot of things, but she does a different type talk show, and she had left a message for me. She's also, one of the top 100 ABC women, and that's one of the awards that I won this year. Actually, yeah, I guess I'm still in it because the book hasn't been released yet. Yes. And it's for the meaning top accomplished black Canadian women. And she's
awesome.
A prior honoree from a few years ago. I think from the first year that they started this. And I think it's only been about maybe 4 or 5 years ago they started. I don't think it's that long ago. And they do it every 2 years. So so this is
nice.
This is our friend Nicole Waldron, and I'm just going to play this really quickly, and then we can go in on a break and come back, and you can pray us up, and then we can start checking out the state of the church. You're listening live to the Pastor Jay Grosner Show with our friend and co-host, Pastor Gregory Morris. We'll be right back.
Hey, beautiful. Just wanted to wish you a happy anniversary. This is a momentous occasion, and you have been doing such significant work in our community and in the world at large. May you continue to experience downloads from the heavenly places as God gives you instructions for what's next and how to achieve what he wants you to do next. And may you have the strength and the prosperity to fulfill his will, the assignment over your life. To God be the glory for the things he has done and the things he continues to do in you and in your family. You are loved, you are blessed, and you know you are favored by the Most High.
For the night, the state of the church.
Amen. Amen. God, we thank you so much. We love you. Lord, we just adore you. We worship you, God. We extol you. We lift you up, God. If you never did another thing for any of us, God, you're still worthy.
Yeah.
And so we give you the glory. We give you all the glory, God. Just bathe these next few moments of conversation and discussion with your presence, Lord. Literally be in the midst, God. Ride on every word. And then, Lord, let it be a transformation in someone's life, a catalyst, God, for change, God, and healing and restoration and mending, Lord, and wholeness. Lord, that you would just do, just exceed, Lord, what we, even beyond the discussion. So we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
are tuned in to the Pastor Jay Grossner Show.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that song just...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's powerful. That's a powerful song. Yes.
You know, yes. It's an old song, but I recently, it's my go-to song. It's my go-to song.
Well, you know what? The anointing, whether the song is something recent or 10, 20, 50 years for that matter, the anointing, there is no expiration on it. So I'm with you. Yeah,
amen.
I love it. Love it.
Amen. And it reassures me because I just quoted that in an email at the law office the other day to a client who's dealing with someone who recently passed away, and she's a woman of faith. And, you know, it was hard, but now that this person has passed on, and as much as it's traumatized their whole family, something amazing happened, and she said she would never have found out all this other stuff had it not been for the passing of this other person. And I thought, wow. And it was just amazing stuff. And so it's exciting stuff. And we might even actually get to deal with some of it here on the show and through the ministry as well. So, yeah, I'm waiting to hear back from her on what she's doing so we can help promote her and help her focus on this foundation that she's developing. So I'm so excited for her. And it's so ironic after she said that, and I responded back to her, and then at the very end, and I said, all things work together for the good, ..
Yeah.
And she said,
yeah.
I totally agree. Yes. You know,
wow.
Loss sometimes is a discovery, and it sounds weird because I had a child. And my child died, and it to this very day, it's the most painful thing I've had to endure in my life. And it's never going to change. And that's the thing. We don't overcome grief. We learn to deal with grief. There's a difference. And so, but at the same point, because of Daniel's passing, so many other chain events happened that were for the good. Do you know what I mean? And it's, you know, my mom will hear this and she's going to say exactly, because she knows exactly what I'm talking about. When Trenton left and went down south, it was devastating for me, devastating, because I felt like I'd lost another child again. It was just so traumatic. And yet still, so many amazing things came out of that. So,
yes.
You know,
yes.
You just don't know. You know, I totally dedicated my life to Christ because of a child I was having. And even promised God that whether or not the child would live, because I was in a very complicated pregnancy, and said to the Lord, I know I can't control whether or not my child will live, but I tell you this day that no matter what happens, I will serve you all the days of my life. And literally while I was in the bed, in labor, was still proclaiming the glory of God in prayer with nurses in my room while I was in the middle of labor.
Come on. Yes. Wow.
I had doctors who were tending to my difficult pregnancy who literally said, when I said, where is the person that's supposed to be here? I was told that somebody would be here to pray with me. And they said, oh, it's very early in the morning, and so they're not going to be able to come in. They can come and see you after. At this point, we knew I was going into labor, and we knew the child may not live. We knew this.
Wow.
And so I said, well, I need to pray. And I'm not joking. One of my doctors held my hand and she said, then go ahead. I'm here and I will pray with you.
Oh, wow. Wow.
She held my hand. And in between, I would just, and I just started literally declaring. I brought down the heavens in that room. didn't care. I was in so much pain, and I needed to know. And I thought, well, if God isn't going to let me keep my child, then my child is going to the Lord. Amen? And so I held on to her, and I started praying. And in between, I would stop and because I'd have to stop because I was in labor. And then as soon as that pain would pass, I would continue praying like nothing happened. And then after I declared the Holy Ghost in the worst way possible, I said, amen. And I I opened my eyes, I heard amen, amen, amen. And I'm like, what? And I opened my eyes. My room was full of nurses.
Wow.
Somebody went to go and get all the nurses because they said she's praying. And keep in mind, I was in the high-risk ward. I was in the neonatal unit. I was literally right across the room. The door of the neonatal unit was right in front of my door.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And they all ran in, and I didn't even know that. And while I was praying, they all came. And after I said amen, I could hear tons of people saying amen, and I got very confused. And I opened my eyes, and they were all there.
Wow, wow, wow.
And even after my child, when I knew he was dying, I literally talked to him, and I told him, remember Mommy told you about Jesus? You're going to go and see Jesus, and he's going to take very good care of you until Mommy comes. Yes.
Wow.
And the doctors and everybody in the delivery room were crying.
But
I didn't care.
Yes.
I had to talk to my child because I knew my child wasn't going to be around for much longer. And everybody always said, you know, like, it's almost as though I was packing him a lunch and sending him off to school. Amen.
Wow, wow, wow.
Amen.
Well, you know, it's situations like that, you know, you're in the midst, you're in the eye of the storm, and you can't really see, you know, there's no perspective per se, but one of the takeaways, you know, in situations like that that are always rings true to me is that I'm sure out of the number of nurses there, I'm sure everyone there did not know God or did not have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, I'm just going to assume at least maybe one, okay. But they can never say, okay, whether they step foot in a church or not, or listen to a sermon or anything, they can never say that they did not know, because in that context of prayer and all of that, the essence of the gospel went forth.
Yeah.
God is not limited. God is not limited by a structured, you know, prayer, a couple of songs, sermon, altar call type of thing. And so that's the wonderful thing, you know. God, you know, his word is true. He says that he would work it, you know, he would orchestrate and bring out of what appears to be a chaotic, adverse, trauma-filled situation, he would work it for our good. Now, I'm still trying to grasp and process that. Because he would work it for our good, for those that love him, and he's been called according to his purpose.
Yes.
You know, wow, what can you do with that? You know, other than to say, God, I trust you. I trust you. And so that's a powerful story, powerful message. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Even after the second doctor, an Asian doctor, she was the young one. She was my main doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Even after the child had passed on, I was in the hospital making funeral arrangements. And one day she came in to see me, to check up on me, and literally sat in a chair with me and said, "You've changed my life."
Wow, there you go. Yeah.
She said,
yes.
"I've never met anybody like you before." She said, "You know, I feel bad about what you're going through." And she said, "But the way you are, the way you've dealt with everything, the way you're handling everything, just," she said, "you have totally changed my life."
Wow. Wow. That's powerful. That is powerful.
Even
yeah,
the minister from the hospital told me her life is even different. Every time I spoke, she was writing down every single thing I ever said to her because she thought, wow. And at this point, I had not even officially taken a call to ministry.
Oh, wow.
And here she was writing down and taking notes on everything I would say. She said, "You're just so amazing what you say. And your dedication to God is just phenomenal."
Wow. Wow. Yeah, the title and position and all that had to play catch up with the mark of God upon your life, you know. So, yeah, God had already marked you, you know. And so just titles and positions and all the other formality just
right.
had to play catch up.
Well, wouldn't they say so, God ordained, man
yes.
confirmed? Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. So true. So, so true. Wow, that's a powerful, yeah.
But, see, but this is the thing, you know, whether you have a title, and here we are talking about the state of the church, whether or not you have a title is irrelevant because there are people in the church that are sitting in the pew that are probably way more powerful than the preachers up there sometimes. And probably more godly. Come on now, let's be honest.
Yeah. Look, as they said, ain't that the truth? That is. Yeah, you just said a mouthful right there.
Well, and while we are dealing with that, because during a show we did a few weeks ago, when we were supposed to bring this up and we couldn't get to it because we had to deal with one specific topic, and it brought out the state of the church. And it was about this beautiful, beautiful woman of God, powerful female gospel singer from Africa, who was killed by her own husband.
Her husband, and who was a pastor,
And could not even call on her pastor and tell her church what she was going through or have them help her, because she was afraid of losing her position.
Wow. Yeah, so that,
I can attest to that.
Yeah.
I have gone to the church to talk about things that I've had to go through. I've had people who have seated me, held me back, who would not listen and said, "No, it's your husband. He's entitled to half of everything, and you need to submit to him no matter what." Until I ended up in the hospital with a broken hand.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
There are people in the church who are so caught up on God does not like divorce. No, he doesn't. I acknowledge that. But would God want somebody to stay in an abusive marriage to the point that they're almost risking their lives every day?
Yeah. That, you know, I've heard that all my life, and grew up with, the very dogmatic side of, God doesn't like divorce. So you know, just to be blunt, so you're just supposed to take it?
Yeah.
risk your own well-being, you know, I mean, and then perhaps that of your kids. And no, absolutely not. That is not of God. I'm sorry.
And here's the thing, because when you think about it, divorce in the Bible is biblical on certain grounds.
However, so
what you're saying is, if he runs out and he has an affair, you can divorce him. But if he beats you to a pulp and beats your kids to a pulp and almost kills you and holds you hostage in the house and you fear for your life, you should stay.
Let's put it in context here.
Hello?
Yeah.
But he should not be having an affair. Heavens no. That is so ungodly.
Yeah. It's, well, first of all, a godly man is going to reflect the nature of his daddy, spiritual daddy, right?
Okay.
And so the very nature of God, okay, there is the just side, and then there's obviously the loving side of God. And there is, I don't care how you parse it, explain it, articulate it, spin it, there is nothing biblical, there's no biblical, nothing that could substantiate, staying, because, you're not reflecting, the nature of God. God doesn't go around beating people and come on, let's just reduce it to that.
Right.
I understand, what you're saying, and it's all about walking in balance. That's the key. My heart breaks because you probably, are aware because you're in ministry. And for those of us in ministry, that dark, ugly side, of what appears to be this persona of pastor and maybe first lady or whatever the case is, but it in no way reflects or mirrors what's going on at home, And so you have perhaps the children that as soon as they're, they've got one foot out the door, and as soon as they're grown or able to leave home, they're gone, will never set foot perhaps in church again. So,
right.
All of these stories, and so my thing is, what good is it? I'll put it this way, that God is the center of everything. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not like what's first, second, or whatever. God is the center of everything, and our lives revolve around Him. As someone in ministry, my number one ministry is my family.
Right.
Okay. And so there's no contradiction there because God is still the center. But my number one ministry has to be my family, because what good is it going to do if I'm out winning the entire world and losing my family?
That's
and so if we just start with the basics and deal with subjects and topics like this, which have been taboo for forever,
right?
And the more you cloak it, and as opposed to pulling the covers back to expose it, the enemy just continues to have a field day. Well, no, let's deal with it. Let's deal with it from a biblical standpoint, a spiritual standpoint, perhaps clinical. There may be a need for therapy, counseling, or whatever the case is. I'll take healing from God no matter how it comes.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
I'll take it, So,
And that's the ultimate thing. When you said that, too, because I remember there's a world-renowned minister, one of the greatest missionary ministers, who mm-hmm. literally said that he saved the world, but he lost his family because he
yeah.
spent all his time focusing
yeah.
on the world and Christian ministry and never made time for his own family.
Yeah, and that's so sad, you know. I mean, you know, it's quite evident when God has his hand on a man or woman of God, you know, it's evident. I mean, because when you're ministering, you know, when you're doing it, that's the purpose why you're
mm-hmm.
here. For some, it may be a doctor or whatever honorable field, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. But if you're going to be married, have a spouse and children, that takes it to a whole nother level, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know any other way to put that, because what's happening is, you know, if there are children involved, not only are you mentoring or exemplifying what, you know, not only are they seeing what's happening with mom and dad,
mm-hmm.
okay, and that then you begin to, you know, replicate this generational, this DNA thing that begins to pass down, that's dysfunctional. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? Because, you know, it's
yeah.
not in check. It's not in balance. And so that's one of the things that I said, that I knew that I would get married. I knew that we would have kids. And so what I do as much as I possibly can, you know, and I go out of my way to do it, you know, as far as date nights. I know a lot of guys, they just they laugh and they chuckle at it. But I'm going like, okay, well, you know what, we're bumping up, you know, 35 and a half years. So, well, you know, I don't know, maybe we did a little something right.
Right.
But not only the date nights, you know, with Donna, I, you know, a date night with Gabby, my daughter.
Aww,
you know,
yes.
So that she could exemplify.
So
and then
knows.
I would hang out with
yes.
Exactly. Then I
yes.
would take time with my son, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's hang out sometime. Then we would, you know, just rotate, and then the whole family would hang out. You know,
right.
and that may, I don't know what that looks like for perhaps those that are listening, someone that's listening, but it's doable. It's
mm-hmm.
doable. We're not talking Huxtable or Leave It to Beaver or anything. We're talking
right.
real life, real talk.
Yeah.
And whatever it takes, you know, to literally and figuratively, I should say,
mm-hmm.
Fight and for the sanctity and the health of my,
yes.
my family. That's what I'm gonna do. That's what I'm.
Amen.
Know, it's, you know, for better, for worse, all of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so. It starts with
and
the
that is, like you said, it's a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put time
yeah.
into it.
Yeah.
And if you can't get that right, my theory is, why do you feel that if you are in a marriage and you don't even treat your marriage like a marriage and focus and
mm-hmm.
work hard on it, why do you
mm-hmm.
feel you have the right to go and tell other couples what to do?
There you go. And you it, exactly. you've nailed it. You've absolutely nailed it.
You
know,
it's
and,
not just practice what you preach concept. It's lead by example, period.
Exactly. Exactly.
Your life
exactly.
is an example. For instance, the situation at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Look
mm-hmm.
how many people's lives were different, even at the grave site.
Yes.
I broke down and cried in the service, got to the grave site, held it together. One of my best friends, I thought she was going to jump in the grave.
Mm.
She just wailed, and literally, I went over and I comforted her.
Mm.
And the
wow.
minister from the hospital is the one who oversaw the funeral.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
I closed everybody out in prayer. I closed everybody because she said they need to hear from you. You've been so quiet. They need to hear from you because they get their strength from you. And I was like, really? She's like, yes, you don't see it, but that's how it is.
Wow.
So they need
wow.
to hear from you. Yeah.
Wow. That's That's powerful. That's
But when you're in a godly ministry,
mm-hmm,
here
mm-hmm.
I'm going to put it out there. When you're in
mm-hmm.
a godly ministry,
mm-hmm.
it becomes second nature.
There you go. There you go.
I have literally comforted and ministered to my ex-husband's mistress.
Wow. Wow.
Because when you see somebody fall apart and they're on the ground and they're crumbling and they're crying, your first reaction as a minister is to help the brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Boy, that's...
And
wow.
This is where it's funny because there are things that I do when people question. They think, seriously? There are times we act differently than how everybody thinks you're supposed to act because it becomes second nature.
Yes. Yes.
You
yes.
have to see
yes.
things through God's eyes and not through your eyes.
Yes. That's it. That's it. Yes.
You don't think
how
about
do
it.
Handle,
you just do
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes. How do you handle people that have perhaps mishandled you? You know, and it still
exactly.
exemplify. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, it, you know, 3 points and a couple of jokes and a punchline or whatever, that won't get you through that, okay? That that comes, you know, really. I mean, that comes from spending some time, you know, with God in his presence.
Yeah.
And say, God, you know what? I can't do this.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
a matter of fact, God, I don't want to do this. Okay.
Amen.
Because you know what? You know, I mean, then let's just real talk. You know, there are
uh-huh.
times when you just don't want to, you know, but you know, the, at the end of the day, you know, God, I'm, you know, this ultimately our life is not about us. We've been bought with a price. And that's hard. You know, I mean,
yeah.
there are times, you know, it sounds good. It rolls off the tongue. It's nice and it's, you know, but when, as they said, you know, you rubber hits the road, you know, and you get there, there's sometimes you just, God, no, I don't. You know what? You know, you get to a point like Jesus. He knew what he was sent here for. And
yeah.
he got to the point, Lord, and I'm paraphrasing. He says, Father, if some kind of way I can get out of this, wiggle
right.
out of this, just please, you know.
Okay.
You know, well, where does that leave us, you know? And
yeah.
so
yeah.
It all boils down to, you know, just spending time with him and the regular assessment of ourselves. You know what? There are times, you know, Pastor Jay, that I don't need another prophetic word to know that I need to get myself, to check myself in a certain area of my life.
Mm.
Okay, I just need to spend time with God and
yes.
allow and perhaps, you know, my wife or even my kids or whomever or you
mm-hmm.
or whatever the case, you know, and I'm looking for all of these things dancing around the issue
mm-hmm.
when God has already told me. And I'll go a step further. Sometimes, you know what, there's not a need to pray, but to get up off our knees and to do what God has already told us to do.
Told.
In obedience.
Mm. Obedience.
You know,
yes.
Right. But, you know, we want to keep it blessed and highly favored, you know, when God is going real talk and raw. Yes, we are blessed and highly favored.
Yeah.
Okay, no doubt about that. And so sometimes, you know, God, you know, He's a loving, you know, father. You know, he is. He, like the prodigal son, he's going to be there.
Right.
And still looking for us and all of our mess and our stinkiness
yeah.
and everything. But there comes a point, you know, when, you know, he said, Daddy, you know, I'm going to jump into your arms, you know, and I've got my spanking and this, that, and the other. Where we assess ourselves and evaluate ourselves and correct ourselves, you know, and allow others to speak into our life words of instruction and correction and all. Boy, if we, you know what? I tell people all the time, I said, if you really want to know the real Greg Morris, interview my wife and or my kids without me being around.
That's
see
right.
If what they
what
say,
they're going to say. Amen.
Right. What the personal life matches up with the public persona.
Yep.
If it doesn't, we got a problem.
Amen.
I got a problem.
Amen. Exactly. 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 And it's the same thing I've always said, too. Despite everything I've done, everything I've been through, everywhere I've gone, every award I've ever won, anybody who knows me knows what you see is what you get. I am the same person.
There you go.
And it was funny because I always tell the story how I always wanted a shock factor when I told people, yes, I've taken a call to ministry. And everybody goes, oh, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, that's nice. And I'm like, really? And it's because they don't see too much change because I was never a mean person. I was never a bad person. I was always kind. I was always caring. I was always giving. It's just escalated. And it's hilarious because when I first started taking my call to ministry, someone said, oh, be careful, she's a hugger. And then I'll do them. Then they go, yeah, well, she's a minister. And it's as soon, and I told one of my pastors, I said, the one thing I am enjoying about my call to ministry is now I can be myself and everybody accepts me before they wouldn't. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Because now I can
be
as kind
and
as nice and as giving and as loving. Before, people would say, what do you want? Why is she so nice? What does she want? Why is she so complimentary? Why is she so encouraging? Why is she so caring? They don't question it now.
Wow. Boy, that's – I love that. I love to hear that. And, you know, it's all about being – you know, men and women of character and integrity.
I like
you know,
that.
And yeah, and you know, I like especially you know, in integrity comes from the same word as integer, a math term for whole number, right?
Right.
And so, you know, a whole number obviously is not does not imply a fraction or decimal point or any of that type of stuff. It's a whole number. So in other words, you know, integrity is, you know, that I'm whole and complete, just like what you just said, what you just, you know, intimated and articulated, that I'm whole, I'm the same and complete, whether I'm before whomever, a crowd of thousands versus a one-on-one. So I'm the same. I'm the same at home. I'm whole, I'm complete, you know, as you said, you know, you are, you know, what you see is what you get, and it's whole and complete, it's the same, you're a person of integrity, you know, in point, whether it's point A, point Z, in a small one-on-one or a small crowd, a large, whatever the case is, and so that's what God is looking for. And I dare say requires and demands of us, you know, and to be people because, you know, I at this point in my life, I'm just not impressed with gifts anymore. Okay. You know what?
Hold on,
thank
I'm taking
God
notes.
For the gift, but,
don't buy Greg or anything. Okay, go ahead.
Well, no, I'm not talking about those kind of gifts.
Oh,
yeah, you,
oh okay. I'm sorry.
I'm talking about the gifts. Yeah, like the gifts and callings are given.
I know.
Yeah.
So, I was trying to squeeze
look,
a fast
We don't want you to, you know, you miss out on your blessing, right? Yeah. No, we don't want you to. But, you know, the whole thing with gifts, giftings and talents and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, those things are anchored by character and integrity. Okay, show
right.
me someone that, you know, perhaps is perhaps maybe a little less gifted in
mm-hmm.
a certain area. You know, I still love excellence. Okay, give me excellence, but maybe a little less gifted, but still a man or woman of integrity and character versus
mm-hmm.
someone that knows that they come through the door, they're all that, you know, and all and just reeks with there's not an ounce of humility any place. Yeah, you know, that's where we fall off, you know, go off the rails and just kind of implode and burn out, and marriages implode and just all
mm-hmm.
of this stuff. And we, you know, there have been red flags and stop signs and everything else that we've
right.
just blown through. And God is, you know, trying to get our attention all along, you know, because he loves us too much to allow us to stay in that, you know, broken, you know, position, that unhealthy
mm-hmm.
spot. And, you know, but sometimes we just ignore that and ask me how I know that. I've been there. I've been there, you know, and it hurts. It hurts, you
mm.
know. It really does. And either way, you know, we're going to be broken. Either we can be broken by God,
mm.
or we will be broken before God. Okay.
Mm.
I'd rather take the before God because
I
know
love
that means
that
I've surrendered and I've yielded. But to be broken by God implies that, you know what, the covers get pulled off. Everybody else, can, you know, it's like the emperor with no clothes. Everybody else can
mm.
see it. I can't
right.
see it, you know. And so I'd rather, unfortunately, I've experienced both.
Mm.
And take it from a personal experience. I think I'll choose the door of being broken before God. Door number 1, 2, or 3. You know. And
oh, I can't imagine. Yes, my word.
Yeah, so it hurts. Yeah.
But these are part of the things of why the church is in the state that it's in.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Because I mean
yes.
are we really having church or are we playing church?
Mm.
Are we really serving God or are we serving ourselves?
Mm.
Are we really
wow.
serving mankind? Or are we getting served by mankind?
Mm.
All,
on,
of things, all of these things, all of these things make a difference. I've
yeah.
always told everybody, I am like Jesus. Jesus came to serve, not to be served.
Yes, say that. Say it. Yes.
And you know, whew, I'm going to get myself in a whole handful of trouble, but.
Come on, say it.
I have an issue, and this is one of the reasons
mm-hmm.
why I left big church, because I have
mm-hmm.
a problem, one, when God's people are in need and they're in your church and they're in your area and they're in your
mm-hmm.
neighborhood and they're in the house next door
mm-hmm.
and they have a need.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
And you are in charge and do nothing
yes.
about it.
Yes, wow.
And then
yes.
turn around and try to tell those same people that you have a need
hmm.
when you don't really have a need for anything.
Yeah, wow.
I have a problem when you
yes.
are in leadership
hmm.
and you are in your church and you feel that everybody there is to cater to you
mm. wow.
while you sit down and be treated like a rock star
mm.
and have no compassion for anybody else.
Mm. Come on. Come
I
on.
Have a problem because
yes.
I may be part of a ministry and the upper crust of the church, as some ministers might call themselves,
mm.
And they say you are supposed to dine and sup first when there's an elderly person sitting in the corner and there's a diabetic person sitting on the other side of the room and there's children over here who have not eaten all day. But I'm going to go on up. Or actually, I won't go up. You're going to go and fix my plate for me and serve me because I am royalty.
Wow. Where is humility in all of that? Where?
I am usually the last person to eat, and I'd be lucky if there's food. Sometimes the people in the churches will say, Pastor, you haven't eaten yet. I will. They go, I'm going to fix you something and put it in the fridge. All right, that's good. Thank you. Bless you. I'm running around checking to see who got food, who needs some juice, who needs...
Yeah. That's the heart of a servant. That's the heart of a servant.
But I used to get in trouble for that. I was told that I was disobedient.
Wow.
I'm the one in the church who would be hanging out with all the church members, and I used to get in trouble for that because I was told I should not be fraternizing with the sheep.
I've heard that more than I'd care to.
Have you ever seen the sheep? And the shepherd wasn't close by? I'm confused. Isn't that what the shepherd's supposed to do? Be amongst the sheep?
Notice
who's supposed to be amongst the sheep? It's usually the wolf.
Mm-hmm.
So why would the shepherd be hanging around somewhere else while the sheep are there and the wolf is in the midst?
Yes. Wow.
What is our mentality? Are we even concerned about the state of the church, or do we even recognize the state of the church when we're so busy trying to be the church?
Wow. Yeah, that is the heart of why, however you want to, define revival, why we don't see, the things of, God that he so desperately longs to do. We're meeting for his party. But he's locked out. He can't get in, to his own, party, the services that we have or whatever. And so that's why, someone said that the thing that is so unbelievable, that they find so unbelievable, is believers, church folks, that will say one thing and go out and do something completely contrary to what they just said.
Right.
That's what an unbelieving world finds so unbelievable. And it is, unfortunately a sad, sad commentary. And then the church, there is no power. And I'm not talking about, histrionics. I'm talking about just the power of God to move where folks are coming to the altar to get saved before a
because the pastors are the gods. The pastors are the gods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is your worship and who is your worship aimed at? And I'm glad you said something about lack of faith and loss of faith, because here's some stats.
Mm-hmm.
It says currently just 1 in 4 Americans is in Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So then the question becomes, where did these practicing Christians go? because the data indicates that the shift was evenly split. Half of them fell away from consistent faith engagement. My word.
Wow.
Essentially becoming non-practicing Christians.
Mm. Wow.
That's frightening.
Very.
It says the shift also contributed to the growth of the atheist and the agnostic non-segment. Why? Because the Christians left and went on the other side.
Wow.
And so their numbers have nearly doubled in size in the same amount of time because they've got to go somewhere. If you take from one group and move it to another group, then their group grows and our group gets smaller.
Yeah. Wow. Unbelievable. That is what a sad commentary.
It says here, one-third fewer Americans attend church weekly now.
Wow.
And here, my concern, too, one of the things that I did definitely look up, and I can't address it tonight, because there's an article I'm going to try and see if we can catch up with sometime in the next week or two. It says, here's who stopped going to church during the pandemic. I haven't read the article, but wait. I can tell you right now, when the churches shut down and everybody went home, some got lazy. Others realized for the first time, wait a minute, I can worship at home. Others decided, much like the kids who were being homeschooled, wait a minute.
Yeah.
If I stay home and worship God, I can still see my pastor. I can still see his sermons. I can even take part in it live and not even a recording. I can still watch on Sundays. And I don't have to go to church and deal with all the nonsense that becomes the business of the church.
Wow. That is very sobering. Very sobering.
I told somebody years ago, because she said to me, you know, I used to really enjoy going to church, but I just don't go to church anymore. I just don't like being there. Church is not a nice place. You know what I told her? Oh, no, I fully understand. Yeah, but you talk to me and you do your program and everything, but, you know, you're going to tell me I need to be in church. And I said, no, I'm not going to tell you you need to be in church because I can't make you go to church. Church is great fellowship, but if you're not happy at church, then something's not right.
Yes.
I would sooner you leave your church than to leave God.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm the pastor, and there are churches I don't even want to be in. So clearly, the problem isn't necessarily you, but the church. So I made this person sit down and do a reassessment. You talked about self-reflecting. Very important in your walk every day. And especially in a case like this, don't run from your church because, oh, I just can't handle it. You need to know why.
Yes.
Is the problem them or is the problem you or is it a combination of things? Or I've told new people, you're going to a church? She said, yeah, I decided I'm finally going to go to church. I haven't been in a long time, but I really want to go. That's great. Go, listen to the service, and then leave right away. What do you mean leave right? I'm telling you now, don't stay. Go home right after church. And she said, why? And I said, you'll see. But you have to listen to my instructions because you have to do this slowly.
Mm.
So she went. I said, you call me when you get back from church and let me know how it went. She said, oh, my gosh, I had a wonderful time. They did tell me to stay, and then they were going to come back later, and they were going to – and I said, and what did you say? I told them I had to go home. I said, good girl. I said, are you going to go back? She said, yeah. And I go, how was the word? She said, oh, I really like the preacher and blah, blah, blah. And I said, good. Focus on that.
Mm.
Go back next Sunday with that mindset.
Yes.
I literally had to train and coach this person into integrating back into church. Because sometimes church folk be too much and scare people away from the church, especially when they're new.
You got that right. And I grew up in the church. That's all I knew. It wasn't like I was out gang banging and swinging drugs and I grew up in this. So I know church folks. And that is so spot on. What I heard you say, the thing that just jumped out to me was that when you said you began to talk to her and whatnot. And I think in a lot of cases, it's so, there's a void in just a kind of like Christianity 101, a no-brainer, whether you want to call it discipleship, mentoring, or where you're spending, just engaging with someone, whether it's a small group or one-on-one or whatever it happens to be. And we lack that. In so many instances, it may not be a blanket statement, but in a lot of instances, there is a huge void there. And so, it's expected of the individual just to organically pull stuff out of the sky and get this revelation that they've not been adequately taught or put in a situation to be taught or whatever you want to, however you want to frame it. And because when you begin to engage someone, one, you show that, okay, that they matter. There's value. Okay. And
right.
You mean enough and there's enough value there for me to spend, the time to share, to pour into you. And then that maturity and then the growth begins to take, So
that's
the thing that's so lacking.
The maturity. That's it right there. And that's the thing. We don't allow them time to mature in their spiritual walk before we start bombarding them and going, we need somebody on this committee. We need somebody in that committee.
Right.
You need to come to prayer meeting tomorrow. We're having a church board meeting in the morning. And that's the thing.
Yep.
They're not stabilized in their foundation of Christ to be able to withstand the bullying and harassment of Christian church folks who are just too zealous about the business of the church.
That's it.
And not everybody is meant to be involved in the business of the church.
There you go. And it is so, just vital that we have a lot of instances and in many, many churches, a lot of people in the wrong spot doing the wrong thing. no one's praying about it. You know what?
Pastor Greg, why you got to go there? Come on.
You started it first. this is one of my pet peeves.
So what do you mean the teacher can't teach Bible study because they're a teacher?
There you go. That's exactly what I was about to say. Because maybe God hasn't said that's where you're supposed to be? Just come. Maybe you're supposed to be the person who's supposed to be a breeder. I could be getting it all twisted. I'm just throwing it out there.
Or what about the person who says, well, if so-and-so can do it, then I guess I can too.
Yeah, but see, I don't know, neither does that person know such and such story. You know, what had God brought them? You know, maybe they've been running from
that.
Well,
yeah, but I've always wanted that position. My mama had that position. My grandma had that position. My great-grandma had that position. I think I should be in that position.
Yeah, but what has God... Did you get a God said?
Well, what does he have to do with it? It's just a position.
Yeah, well, maybe because, you know what, we're here to, you know, make his name famous on the earth and point people to him. And maybe he knows, Father knows best.
That's just a small detail. It's church.
Yeah.
I want to sound like Tina Turner. What's God got to do with it?
Yeah. And then we wonder why, you know, that, you know, we have empty pews or the young people
church hurt. Someone said that the other day, that there's no such thing as church hurt. I'm like, really?
Okay.
So here are some good statistics, and this was interesting because despite the fact that people were running from the church now and literally running to, you know what, forget God. And that's the thing. We don't want folks mad at God. And that's what the church doesn't understand. If somebody's leaving your church, your denomination, you cannot be all angry at them. And then, remember I posted something about this some while back. Because people think that when you leave your church and your denomination, you're no longer supposed to speak to them. And that's exactly how people treat people. She in the Church of God of Christ now. She used to be AME. What is with that? Let's not talk to her no more. Yeah, hello?
Yeah,
but
that
here's
is the
good
epitome.
Thing.
Yeah.
Despite the fact, because this is what happens, because when people run from the church, let them go to another church. We don't want to lose Christians. And here's the good thing. Consistency of Bible reading has remained steady for nearly a decade. So it says if church attendance is on the decline, how do other practices of faith stack up over time? That only leads me to believe if church folks be leaving, they're not leaving the church and God, they're just leaving the church. And here's some more good news. Where did I see this? A majority of Americans still reports praying weekly. Individuals are much more likely to say a prayer than they are to attend a church service. Understandable, it says. As this faith practice is far more accessible and may maintain appeal in a culture that remains open to spirituality even as religious affiliation and institutions have declined in favor. Large majority of Americans still say that prayer is something that they do on a weekly basis. So they're still reading the Bible and they're still praying.
Wow.
So why aren't these people in church? Maybe that's what we need to start researching.
Yes, 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 yes.
Because that means they haven't left God, but they're not coming to his house.
Yeah.
When
you're afraid to go home,
that sounds like abuse, doesn't it?
Hey, there you go. There you go.
I'm just saying.
And you will go where you're being fed. Okay.
Okay.
There may be that. Look, here in Chicago, We live about 30 miles south of downtown Chicago. But if there's a restaurant, whether it's in look, you will get in the car or whatever motive means of transportation. If you've got a taste for it, and if you know that that food is consistently on point,
mm-hmm.
every time you go, and you're going to get fed, and probably bring some what we call little doggy bags back with you.
Yes.
You're not gonna have a problem. You know, you won't have a problem with the sky high parking in downtown Chicago, the traffic, and all the rest of the stuff. Because you know what? I know for my well being, okay, it's going to benefit me. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so the same, if not more so, you know, for the church. I'm going to go if I'm really authentically, spiritually nourished. Not just, you know, okay, they always sing my favorite song, and I'm going to hear my favorite, the worship team is the bomb. And no, if I'm getting fed from the moment I pull up in the parking lot, meet the greeters, to the ushers, to the whatever. You know,
right.
Everything is just exuding excellence, and God's presence is there, and we know that, you know, this is not Showtime at the Apollo, and there's no superstar mentality. We're coming with, you know, to experience an encounter with God. You know what? Folks will come. As the movie said, if you build it, they will come.
Folks will
come. You know, so that I, you know, it's no fault of God. God hasn't changed. He hasn't moved. He hasn't, you know. So we have to examine ourselves.
Yes.
You know.
And that's what you're saying. Yes, for the church. Self-reflection for the church. And that's the thing. Are we even taking time to even consider why people aren't? You know, we just going about our daily lives, just not even worrying about it and continuing and just hoping that numbers will continue to come in. And then what are, like you said, being fed?
Mm-hmm.
Are you just having numbers because you need the money, or are you actually feeding your sheep?
Oops. Come on. Say it. Yep. Wow.
If tithes and offerings is the key point and your objective in your church, there's a problem.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah.
I've always believed that when a church member is happy, they give willingly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to fight for your tithes and offerings. I can tell you right now, when you're not in church and you're away, you're sick, you just can't come, even vacation, you still give your tithes and offerings. Because you know it's for the fulfillment of not only kingdom building, but the church. The lights need to be on. The organist needs to be paid. The janitor needs to come and clean up after we are so messy, getting on bad in church and praising God all kinds of ways. The band needs to be paid. You know what I mean? The AV people need to be paid. Somebody needs to be paid to watch all them screaming babies in the nursery. You know, like, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
You realize that you're investing in your church. That's exactly the way I see it.
Yes. And, you know, in the Holy Spirit, because there is such an atmosphere conducive for the Holy Spirit to move and to speak, you don't have to use gimmicks and games and mind. You know, you don't have to be a Jedi mind tricks and pulling
and
out
be begging and pleading and
You know, I mean,
how
the
many
Holy
times
Spirit
are you
going to
put that basket around? Yeah, exactly. Come on now.
And, you know, and so, and there, especially, you know, if there is an ongoing culture where, you know, you're being taught, you know, to, you know, just to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and just, you know, a love for the Word and embracing the Word and you know what, how can I love God who I've not seen, you know, and then walk around, you know, and so, yeah, I love God. Yeah, I love, you know, but you can't talk to, you know, so all of this stuff, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move and has its rightful place in our heart.
Amen.
Okay, and we're dethroned from our, you know, the throne that God should be, where Jesus should be sitting, you know, then, you know, you want to talk about revival? I'm talking about a true revival. I'm not talking about him or her coming in for 4 or 5 days running a revival. I'm talking about true revival where, you know, there's transformation from the inside out. Husbands, you know, wives see a difference in their husband and vice versa, and the kids going, wow, mom and dad, I guess they do love one another. There's something different, or, you know, or there's just a change, you know. And I just don't believe that that's fairy tale. That is, you know, when God is made preeminent, okay, then, you know, things begin to happen.
Yeah.
And again, even while, let's say, you're ministering the word, healing people, while the praise team, a choir, whatever, singing, you know, someone's being, you know, the Holy Spirit speaking to their heart that, you know, that, to give their life to the Lord. That's, you know, transformation and seeing that's, you know, I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, just not, you know, because if we're just coming to see one another, even though, you know, I love, you know, fellowship, if it's just strictly, if that's it, I can go to some recreation center or some social club or
even a restaurant.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah, we could just go and have brunch or something. There you go.
So.
We're gonna take a quick break because we're going to time out shortly. But I think we covered some of the great aspects of the state of the church. We're going to continue our episode of the state of the church when we dive into some other specific things. Again, we got to touch base with this wonderful article, Here's Who Stopped Going to Church During the Pandemic. And some things that worked in the church a decade ago that doesn't work today, and various church trends that definitely are ruling right now, especially post-pandemic church. That's what we're calling post-pandemic church. And so we'll definitely be dealing with that in our next segment of the Pastor Jay Grosner Show. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Keep it locked.
Open doors, you step. not getting older, only getting better, only getting sweeter, and also much wiser. This is your day, this is your day, this is your day, this is your day. Like fine wine maturing, so pure, sure and sparkling, it's so reassuring to know someone so loving. This is your day, this is your day, this is your day, this is your day. Happy birthday to you. May all your wishes come true, my darling. Happy birthday to you. Long life, sweet dreams, and all your God blessings. Happy birthday.
Just how much I got,
in our life. You always provide everything that we need. Our need is supply. Yeah, just supply. I remember when we were kids, we never had too much enough, enough to live. Sometimes we don't know food, I just want another fridge. But through the house full up, I love me feel like them rich. Like me grow up privilege. Time the life for humble beginnings. Me not gonna switch up for material things. But rich was for everything God brings. Young yard and fish, I'm gonna sing. Look at your blessings one by one. Look all around you, count your blessings one by one, yeah. So much to be grateful for, your blessings one by one, yeah. Just might surprise you just how much chance has passed, yeah. So count your blessings one by one, one by one, by one, by one. So count your blessings one by one, one by one, by one, by one. One by one, by one, by one. So count your blessings one by one. One by one, by one, by one.
Fall upon me. Watch all the blessings that fall upon me.